So I guess I can just get right into the questions then.
Let's do it up.
Okay, so my first question is, why a podcast? So you do so much in terms of social media, you do YouTube, you have a consulting business on the side. So how come a podcast and why now?
So that's actually a really good question. And I think so many people are coming to the same conclusions that I did. So I was thinking, I'm this kid from a small, relatively small town in Canada, and I have such big dreams, so many people that I see every day that I want to interact with, but how can you get their attention? How can you get some of their time? And I actually saw a post by Gary Vee, which is a big inspiration of mine, and it was about the premise of the high school party. And what he said was that you may not be the coolest kid, but if you start having the parties, you start getting invited to the parties, right? So that was my mentality, where I was like, hey, I want to network with all these people. How can I get their attention? I need some sort of platform. And the great thing about today is that the internet makes it so accessible. So I started with podcasting because that's such an intimate way to network. If you speak with someone for an hour, you leave a friend,
Right.
right? So, and it's far more approachable to a conversation to say, do you want to sit down and get on my podcast, than it is saying, do you want to just come over and talk for an hour, right? Totally different. The exact same thing's happening, but it's the approach. So that's why with podcasting for me, it was to network and then to grow as a professional, as well as build my personal brand through doing all that.
Right, that makes perfect sense, I guess, in combination with Instagram, YouTube. It's like,
Exactly, it all feeds together, right?
right. Okay, so then explain a little about Do Dope Shit. So your podcast, so you wanted to network, but how did you actually come up with the premise about your entire podcast and who you were going to interview and what it was going to be about?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question because I think that's where you got to start, right? If you're starting a podcast. And for me, I always wanted to interview people that were like me, like entrepreneurs, stuff like that. And originally, I started super, super niche where I was like, I'm only going to interview young entrepreneurs. And then after a few weeks of doing it, a few guests, I decided not to limit myself to that and to really open up the doors and to change the approach a little bit. So the whole core essence of the show is that my goal is to empower and allow people to believe that they are capable and worthy of doing things that they love. So what I try to do is I try to interview people that are entrepreneurs from all different walks of life, doing things that they love and trying to capture their story and how they got to do what they're doing, right?
Right.
So then if there's anybody listening to that who may have similar interests, now I try to discredit any excuse they may create for themselves by answering any question that they would have if they could sit down in front of that person. So that's the goal of it, is to try to empower people to do what they want to do, because so many people don't have that internal belief within them, so they don't even try. So I'm attempting to try to enforce that through these conversations.
Well, that's great. Oh, it's nice that you're not just interviewing young entrepreneurs, and like you said, it's a mix of people, all walks of life, because I feel like that's you get some pretty good stories that way.
For sure, exactly, right? I didn't want to limit myself to just young entrepreneurs. Also for myself as the show host, like that makes it, if you really pigeonhole yourself, that makes it difficult to get steady flow of guests.
Right.
So if you open it up slightly, then there's so many more people I could interact with, right?
Okay, so that actually ties in really well to my next question. So I know your first podcast episode ever, you had Jack Denmo. So
One of them, yeah.
one of the first ones.
Yeah.
So he's pretty big on YouTube, and
Yeah.
he does some really, really interesting stuff on YouTube. So how do you get these podcast guests? So it's not like, I mean, we both go to the University of Guelph,
Yep.
and you're not just interviewing Guelph students. You're interviewing quite a wide variety of people, and some of them have some very successful businesses or side hustles going on. So how do you find them?
So that's actually funny that you asked me this, because I just released a YouTube video strictly about this. So I got a whole thing list for you, so I can give you all those tips right now. The first thing that I do is Instagram DM is incredibly, incredibly powerful,
Wow.
especially because of the recent update. So now your Instagram DMs that are even in your requests are divided into, I forget the exact words, where my phone is, but it's like there's priority ones, and then there's ones that the algorithm thinks is spam.
Okay.
So if you take the time to write a thought-provoking response to them that's totally personalized, it's very likely going to go into the priority DMs bin.
Okay.
And then from there, it's far more likely that they're actually going to read it. And if it's personal to them and you're providing some sort of mutual value, they're probably going to reply. I've been blown away by how many people reply. I'll reach out to people who have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers that are running these million-dollar companies, and they'll reply.
That's
It's
it's
crazy. And
incredible.
it is also very much a snowball effect. Once you get one, if you build a rapport with them, you then have access to their network, and you can use that previous guest as a selling point to get your next guest.
Interesting. So yeah, it really is a networking tool, it sounds
100%.
like.
So Instagram, and another tool I use is email, but it's not super easy to get everyone's email. But I found this tool online. It's called hunter.io, And what you do is if you go to anybody's website and you type in the URL into Hunter, it'll give you the admin's email of that website.
Oh, cool.
So that can be super valuable. I've gotten a few guests like that. So it's been DMs, emails, and then some guest referrals as well.
Wow. That sounds pretty effective.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting great people on the show, so it's clearly working.
For sure. And actually, there's one more thing I'll throw in there, which I've found great success with as of late, is live video. So it's not my live video. Is if there's somebody who you're recruiting that you want to get on, jump in there live. And the reason for that is because it's such a small subset of their audience, it's so much more intimate and way less loud. You can capture their attention so much easier on there because there's far less competition. Plus, you also have the option to request to join the live. So I've gotten into 3 quite influential entrepreneurs, which are episodes that are coming out soon, strictly because I got into their live. I clicked request to join, and that was what they were doing. They were bringing fans in.
Wow.
So I got in there, I explained my story, and then said, hey, why don't you come jump on my show? They're now kind of put on the spot because there's other fans in there, and if they say no, they don't look the best.
Right.
Right? So it's an opportunity just to leverage that situation.
That's actually a really, I've never heard of that tactic. That's actually really, really
yeah,
smart.
It's been super helpful for me. I've actually landed probably my 3 biggest guests that will be coming out all through that strategy.
Wow. Okay, so that, I actually had another question about that. So you say you have another 3 guests planned. So
I've got tons more coming. Yeah.
Wow. So this isn't for you. It's not like a week by week. You're going to scramble to find a time to post. Like you have this planned months in advance even? Or?
For sure. You want to do that as much as possible.
Right.
So how I do it is occasionally if I ever come across somebody's Instagram page that I think I would want to reach out to, I'll screenshot it, and then I have a folder in my phones of potential guests. And then when I have times, I'll block it and I'll batch it all into one period of time. I will just reach out to them all. Go like that. And then I'll try to schedule as many of them as possible for the same day. So again, I can batch record them all and then not be stressing to get them out. I made that mistake earlier on of not batching it, not having episodes on hand, and then running into scrambling to get an episode out. So you definitely want to batch them as much as possible, and just it makes it easier for you. You can have it set, ready to go, and then just click the post button.
That makes sense. So then let's say, okay, so you get your podcast idea,
yep,
and you know how to outreach and how to network with people in your industry, and maybe you get some guests lined up. So just in terms of the logistics and like everything you actually need to start a podcast, so going from idea to execution, what would you say are the kind of the main things, you know, in terms of equipment or specs you might need on your computer? Maybe walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, that's an exceptional question because I think so many people get scared out of trying because they assume you need all this high-tech expensive gear. And I can tell you that's not the case. Really? There are some things that can help you out tremendously. Like even depending where you record it can help you out tremendously. Like being in a room that is heavily carpeted, or if you put up sound tiles, things like that, that can make a dramatic difference, and it could cost you nothing. You can put blankets up on the wall and that will really improve your sound. Beyond that, I record all of my episodes still on my computer. So I don't have any audio mixer or anything like that. You can, but unless you're going to have 2 people in-house, it doesn't even make much sense to have an audio mixer and all of that because it's still feeding through the computer. Right? So the true audio quality isn't being as captured. So you're probably better off just doing it on your computer unless you're going to have a full in-house setup. Then I would for sure get an audio mixer, all those extra things that you can do to enhance quality.
Right. Makes sense.
But for me, I just have a few mics and I think mic choice can go a long way. You definitely want to make sure you get a good mic, but you don't need to spend like $600 on a mic. You really don't. This mic that I have right here is the Audio-Technica ATR2100, and it is the mic that I suggest to any newbie podcaster because this thing is around 80 or 90 bucks Canadian, so like 60 or 70 American, and it sounds on par with some of the $500 mics.
Really?
Like they're not, obviously it's not as crisp.
Right.
But for the price point, it is very comparable.
No, that's really awesome to hear because I think, like you said, like people are sometimes scared of starting a side hustle or some side business because they think they're going to incur so many costs, but...
You don't have to. I honestly would advise the opposite. I would go into it as cheap as possible, as like a common term with entrepreneurship is a minimum viable product. So that's what all we're trying to do here is get in with as small of resources as possible. One thing I would say that's a huge mistake that people make, and ironically, we're actually using the mic right now that I advise not buying. So many podcasters buy the Blue Yeti. I would say you're better off buying 2 of these individual mics than a two-person, like, one mic. That did a terrible job of describing that. But it's like a mic for two people, or right. only one mic. Because this, naturally, because of its design, picks up far more reverb than this will. Mm. So you like, we can get away with being farther apart and talking into this, but it sounds more crisp if we had our own individual mic.
Right.
And this is about the exact same price as two of these. So I would suggest getting two of individual mics versus the one of the Yeti.
Oh, interesting. Because, yeah, even like I'm not into podcasts, but even I've heard about the Yeti and their series of microphones.
Everybody talks about it, yeah.
Okay, so on that note, mistakes. So first time mistakes starting out a podcast, aside from, you know, maybe jumping into the wrong mic or expensive equipment, or maybe you don't line up your guests well enough, or kind of organize yourselves. What do you think some other common mistakes people might make, or that you've made?
Yeah, no, I've, again, this is ironic because I made a video all about the mistakes that I made, and the biggest ones is launch and how important launch is. And why a launch is so important is because of how the podcast app algorithm works. So it really favors an influx of traffic to a show, but it's awesome because if you launch with three episodes, those three episodes are, so say if somebody comes to your podcast and listens to all three, those are each like viewed as organic new comers to your show. Mm-hmm. So that is massive for ranking on iTunes. So I got into the top 100 for business podcasts in my first week because of the influx of traffic. But imagine where I could have been if I had three more things to listen to for people.
Right.
So a mistake that I made was I didn't launch with three episodes. So anybody who's starting a podcast, don't launch it until you have three. And even more than that, don't launch it until you have three and then more backlog so you're not scrambling. So that was a huge thing that I missed out on, was not the three. So because that, you rank higher in the rankings. So I got to 69, but I could have been, who knows, top 20, top 10. And the great thing about that is once you have that ranking position, you can say that you're a top 100 podcast then.
Right.
Because think about it, like, yeah, okay, who won the Super Bowl this year? The
Pats.
The Pats won this. So now they can say that they're Super Bowl champions, right? Next year they won't be the Super Bowl champions likely, but they're still Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, so you can use that for the rest of the year.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm a top 100 podcast because I was a top 100 podcast. They can't take that away from you. So that's massive for launch. And then the other big reason why it's super, super important is because organic reach to your episodes on podcasting is nearly impossible.
Right.
It doesn't work like a search engine as YouTube would as much, or like Google. So getting organic people to your show is almost impossible. Almost everybody who listens to a new podcast is redirected either from a referral, word of mouth, or other social links.
Right.
So by having an effective launch, you can end up in the new and noteworthy section on the podcast app. And that's a great way for newbies to podcasting or anybody looking for a new show to come across your show organically, which is so hard to come by.
Right. So that to me is fascinating because... So from the blogging sphere and the SEO world, it's all, you know, write great content, let it sit for 6 months, a year, do some backlinking and, you know, make Google happy and kind of cross your fingers. and then you get some traffic maybe, or maybe you don't. But so it's fascinating to me. It sounds like with podcasts, it really is about riding that initial wave. And
100%. Yeah. If you have an effective launch strategy, that can propel you so much faster because everything just feeds off that, right? It's a self-churning machine. If I got into the top 10, that then makes every outreach far more credible because I'm a top 10 podcast, right? And then imagine the fans that I could have acquired while being in the new and noteworthy section, because that's curated by Apple. So if you make it on there, naturally there's association of quality,
right? Apple chose
Apple puts you on there. And it's only being done by an algorithm. Like, it's throwing you in there. There's not someone sitting there saying like, yep, that guy, right? So it's based on the traffic. Mm-hmm. So if you end up on there, that is gold.
Right, so that's pretty much the place to be then.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So then, in terms of your own promotional strategy, so you have an impressive Instagram following and you're growing your YouTube and everything like that. So is that part of the snowball effect? Is that how everything kind of feeds into itself? You grow your YouTube, connect with more people on Instagram, and I don't want to say a sales funnel, but like the final place or the main place you're going is the podcast now, I guess.
So podcasting was actually the beginning point to facilitate everything else. And it's actually kind of fed that way. So because I've been running a podcast for over a year now, I am a relative, I say this in quotation, like expert within the space. So that's actually dramatically helped my YouTube channel because I make content about podcasting and then it feeds back that way. And also, yeah, for sure, it's massive for growing even my Instagram because if I have somebody on, they're going to promote the material that I create on their page too, right? So then I become an authoritative figure to their fans as well, because they see, oh, Ben had them on their podcast. He must be something, right?
Yeah, why he's a top 100 podcaster.
Exactly, right? So why would this person give him his time if he wasn't like a top 100 podcaster? So it creates that form of credibility. So yeah, it definitely is like it all feeds together. And I would say anybody should have a podcast. I envision in the next 5 to 10 years, having a podcast will be like having an Instagram channel or Instagram page.
Really? That's interesting.
I think everyone will do it because there's so much value here. Even if nobody listens to it, I'd be totally content with that, because I am picking the brains of people that I sought out. Mm-hmm. I want to know what they're doing, and I'm trying to answer questions that I think other people want to know, but selfishly, I want to know. There's so much value there that it's like, why the hell not?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, you're having an hour-long conversation with someone who you think is cool.
Exactly. And that, in a nutshell, is all you need. And plus, like, it's a great way to start building your personal brand and start becoming an expert in something. Because at the end of the day, that's how you grow, is becoming a specialist. Like, I saw this saying where it was like, the specialists doctors make way more money than the general practitioners. And that's so true in like anything in business too. Mm-hmm. If you can become a specialist, so whatever your field is, becoming a podcaster, if you're the one providing all that information, even if it's not coming directly from you, you still in turn become a specialist.
Right. That does make sense. I guess, yeah, you're facilitating discussion at the end of the day, and that provides...
But you're the platform that's delivering it. So although you're still connected to the value that's being created from the other person's words.
Interesting.
Which is super amazing, because if you get these great people on your show, they just make you look even better too. So it's a win-win-win for everybody.
Wow. That is encouraging, I think, for people thinking about it. Because I know, and again, from the blogging world, it is really discouraging when no one reads your content.
Yeah.
And unlike podcasting or YouTube, there isn't anyone else in the room. It's you behind a computer, and I mean, you might even get some traffic initially, but then maybe a Google update comes out and shuts you down, or maybe it's your social media strategy isn't working, or just, again, no one's reading your blog.
Yeah.
That can be super discouraging. So it's nice to hear that with podcasting. I mean, like you said, you still connect with these incredible people.
Exactly. So at the end of the day, there's value being created. But another great thing about podcasting is that nobody can see your analytics besides you. So when you're reaching out to guests and they say, I'm not saying lie to people.
Yeah.
But when you reach out to guests, they don't know how big your show is, because they can't go on and online and look at it. So if you make it look very professional, that's going to go a long way, because they associate that with it, because there is no view counter. Only I can see how many downloads it's getting. Mm-hmm. There's no way for them to see it. So that's huge. So that's why I made a big point of upping the quality of my content, both audio quality as well as the associated graphics and whatnot, just to build that, right? That form of credibility when I reach out to someone, that it looks like it's legitimate.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a fake it till you make it.
For sure, right? That's what it is.
Yeah, it's same with blogging. Minus the analytics they can dig up, but again, yeah. I think the appearance, the quality, it all goes a long way with the online businesses, that's for sure.
100%.
Yeah. So then, if there's one more thing you could say, someone, you know, they're on the fence about starting a podcast, you know, they've been thinking about it for a while, you'd say do it, just dive right in?
110%, I would say it's the best decision I've made in the last few years, simply because of what it leads to, and also it teaches you that you can do things, right? Like, you can make this a reality, right? You can have an idea in your head and then make the steps necessary to make it happen. But also go into it with the mentality of that you'd be totally okay if no one ever, ever downloaded it.
Right.
And if you go into it with that, you cannot lose. Because every one of these conversations, you're growing as a person, you're growing your network, and you never know, you could be one step closer to making it a real thing. And not to mention, you're also improving your personal skills, right? Like speaking with people, asking questions,
right?
Communication, all these things are so valuable, and you're getting that through doing something that you want to be doing anyways. So I'd say it's a no-brainer, and that's why it's growing so much. And my few videos that I do have on podcasting are getting an influx of recent traffic because everyone's catching on to podcasting.
Yeah, it's like a hot topic.
It 100% is, and it's going to continue to grow. And I actually view that as a very big positive, which a lot of people would say like, oh, all these people are going to come on and flood the platform. I think that's awesome, because I think it's a game of best, not first. So it's like all these people are going to come. They're then going to bring their network to come to the platform. And then as anything, a lot of them are going to drop off. But the people that they brought with them are probably going to fall in love with podcasts and search out other podcast shows. So I just view that as an opportunity to capture more audience and attention.
Yeah, I think that's the right attitude to have.
Absolutely.
That's really nice. It's opposite with Google. It's like you get, I'm on the first page because I've been around for the last 12 years, yeah, and I have 100,000 backlinks and I'm Forbes.com.
Exactly. So, a lot of stuff matters.
Yeah. Good luck getting me away from page one.
Exactly.
That's really interesting. So yeah, it's nice to hear it's not first to market. It's the best in the market.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the traffic dictates all of it. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you can, like, that's why I pointed some examples where, like, Logan Paul made a podcast and instantly it was like a top ranking podcast. Right. Obviously, because he didn't have to fight through the noise of what you mentioned with like Google. He just brought his audience there,
right,
and then made it happen.
Hmm. Yeah, so I guess leveraging social media still does matter, but...
Yeah, it definitely can help, for sure, because otherwise, like I said, it doesn't work like a search engine. So you really want to focus on getting people there however you can, and for a lot of people that is through social media. But for my initial launch, I was texting everybody I knew. Like, personal outreach was massive, because you can send them a link to their mobile phone, and... when you make it as easy to them where they just need to click on their screen, it makes it difficult for them to say no.
That is fair.
Right? Yeah. So I would say don't abandon all pride for anything you're going to try to do with social media, because if you want to make it work, these things matter. So I spent like a good half an hour, probably longer, my launch day, texting everybody I knew with the link. Be like, just take a look. Let me know what you think, and also leave a review. That's very crucial for ranking as well.
Reviews.
Okay. Yeah. So a rating out of 5 stars is great, but a rating with a review, like a written response, is worth even more.
Okay.
So you want to encourage that as much as possible. And then within the podcast, I always say, go rate it 5 stars because it helps me out. And then also provide other call to actions as well.
Yeah. I feel like the call to actions, that makes sense. That's a big part of it.
For sure.
And definitely in this post, we'll be leaving everything from your Instagram, the podcast, Do Dope Shit, that people need to check out.
Absolutely.
And the YouTube that people need to check out.
That's it.
Yeah, I like this. It's like a mixture of blog meets podcast,
yeah,
it's old kinda, school meets.
It is, yeah. And there's like so different worlds, but it's like a lot of the same principles are still present. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thanks so much for all of your questions and for helping out all the newbie podcasters out
Absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, man. Hey, I'm happy to have everyone in the community, and I can't wait for everyone to see the value that's there, because there's so much to be had.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So that's been Ben with Do Dope Shit. Go check it out. It's... quite the podcast, and definitely check out his YouTube and socials as well.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you having me on.
No problem.